Who is Esau Edom? Written by Charles Weissman. Read for you by Paul Maitrejane. This is a free tearingdownidols.com audiobook. Reproduction and redistribution are encouraged. For more free reading and listening material, please visit tearingdownidols.com. Chapter 8. The Final Act. As we turn to the final act in God's script, we find it has several interesting and startling scenes that are of profound importance for world events. Here we find the climax in the conflict between good and evil. This act tells of the final completion of the kingdom of God, the exposure of evil persons, the overcoming of troubles by God's people, the times of restitution of all things, and the destruction of the man-made worldly system known as Babylon. It has scenes of war and peace, of rejoicing and of weeping and gnashing of teeth. The scenes and events in this act thus bring about a turning point in the way in which those in the world perceive things and live their lives. Here we also find a drastic change in the lives of Esau and Jacob, and the way in which the world perceives these two characters. Exit Esau Edom. In this final act of God's script for the world, we find appearing on center stage the same two characters which first made their appearance in Genesis 25, that being Esau and Jacob. The end of the script reads just as most would expect and hope, with justice and a happy ending. Here we find God's people, Israel, being delivered from the hand of their enemy, Edom, who ends up being destroyed. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As you have done, it shall be done unto you. Your reward shall return upon your own head. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them, and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining in the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. Obadiah 1, verses 17 and 18. What is being talked about in these verses is the elimination of Esau as a people. There shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. With this decree, God has signed and sealed Esau's death warrant. In this scene, the character Esau Edom makes his final exit off stage, which means he is forever eliminated from the world scene. See also Isaiah 34, verses 5 through 6. The book of Jubilees says that when Esau would gain dominion over Jacob, Esau would commit a sin unto death, and all thy seed shall be rooted out from under heaven. Chapter 26, verse 35. Here then we have the extermination of an entire race or group of people, the Edomites. Today this is often called genocide. The Bible actually prophesies the genocide of Esau Edom. Knowing this, we must again put ourselves in the role of Esau to understand what is happening today. If your role called for your destruction, would you not want to change or circumvent that scene? Why is it that the Jew is running around trying to get laws passed internationally and nationally to prevent any acts that could be construed as leading to or causing genocide? If your life was on the line, would you not be doing the same? The Jews have instigated and promoted the Genocide Treaty, the Genocide Convention, genocide laws, and even have invented the very word and meaning of genocide. In late November 1944, a book was released titled Axis Rule in Occupied Europe, authored by a Polish Jew and lawyer by the name of Raphael Lemkin. In this book, Lemkin introduced a new word, genocide. Lemkin uttered with grim hyperbolic judgment, "The Nazis have destroyed whole nations, a crime for which the present writer has coined the word genocide, in analogy with homicide and fratricide." Footnote: James J. Martin, The Man Who Invented Genocide, 1984, page 3. End footnote. Genocide, by its definition, was a group offense against another group. It was in its truest sense an international crime, one race or nation against another. Raphael Lemkin's new crime and his new word for it, genocide, achieved dizzying success. Less than a decade after he first fabricated it, enough states represented in the United Nations organization came to ratify the convention which incorporated it as a new international crime, and most of them surrounded it with enabling legislation to make it the law of their lands as well. All this was achieved by 1951. Footnote: James J. Martin, The Man Who Invented Genocide, 1984, page 13. End footnote. To show the world that this new crime of genocide is a potential threat, the Jews found it necessary to fabricate the monstrous lie of their Holocaust story, where 6 million of their race were allegedly killed by Nazi Germany during World War II. This worked effectively to play on the sympathy of most people, especially when it is presented in a dramatic and emotional manner. The Jews have established several groups and organizations to spread their biased propaganda and to monitor acts they believe may threaten their extinction. One such group, the Simon Wiesenthal Center, dedicates its energies to Holocaust studies. It also tracks down Nazi war criminals worldwide so they can be tried and executed through their kangaroo court in Israeli or the UN World Court. They thus are held up as an example to anyone who would dare think of harming or plotting to kill Jews or declare war on them. Footnote: in July 1933, the Jews declared a holy war, a war that must be waged unremittingly on Germany. New York Times, August 7, 1933. End footnote. There is also the Jewish Anti-Defamation League, which strives to institutionalize Holocaust instruction in the nation's schoolrooms. In addition, ADL's Nazi War Criminals Task Force cooperates with government agencies here and abroad to bring these criminals to justice. Footnote: from the Anti-Defamation League brochure of May 1991, written by Jack J. Zarofsky. End footnote. Why is it no other group, nation, or race of people is as worried and concerned about the concept of genocide as the Jews are? It is because in God's script for the world, the Jews are scheduled to be exterminated, and that impending reality is why they are so paranoid about genocide. It would seem the Jews are fearful of receiving the retribution they know they deserve. As the Jew Karl Marx once stated, "There can be no solution of the problems of the world without the destruction of the Jews and their religion, Judaism." Footnote: Emanuel M. Josephson, The Strange Death of Franklin D. Roosevelt, New York, Chedney Press, 1948, page 50. End footnote. Jacob as God's tool of vengeance. There is more to this story of Edom's demise revealed in the script that must be considered, and that is the means by which Edom is destroyed. It is Jacob that God will use to destroy and kill Esau Edom. In Obadiah's prophecy, it says that Jacob shall be a fire, Obadiah 18. This is not a purifying or refining fire, but a consuming and destroying fire. This fire will both kindle and devour the house of Esau, which is regarded as stubble, a substance which can be easily burned up and destroyed. Like stubble, Esau's very nature is a catalyst that brings about his own destruction. It is interesting that the Jews have chosen the word Holocaust, meaning the whole of something which is burned. The whole house of Esau is described as being burned up. A true Holocaust is about to occur. The Jews cry, "Never again," in reference to the Holocaust story, but the fact is that it has not yet happened. This destruction will happen to the Jews and at the hand of Israel, the white race, as verified by Ezekiel. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will also stretch out my hand upon Edom, and I will cut off man and beast from it, and I will make it desolate from Teman, and they of Dedan shall fall by the sword. And I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people Israel, And they shall do in Edom according to my anger and according to my fury, and they shall know my vengeance, saith the Lord God. Ezekiel 25, verses 13 through 14. Footnote. Teman and Dedan were major cities of Edom. End footnote. Here is another prophecy involving the destruction of Edom at the hands of Israel. This prophecy, from both Obadiah and Ezekiel, was given at about the time of the Babylonian captivity of Jerusalem, 586 BC. There is no period in Bible history that these prophecies ever could have or did occur. What these prophecies reveal then is that Israel, the white race, will someday kill off the entire house or family line of Esau, which includes the Edomite Jews. This presents the ultimate shock and horror to those of the worldly mindset, for this is the one thing above all things that the world has been conditioned into believing must never happen. Even the slightest infringement or harm of a Jew by a white person brings cries of persecution, anti-Semitism, and the remembrance of the Jewish Holocaust. This is another case where the worldly perspective is opposite and contrary to what God has planned for Esau and the earth. Esau has deceived and influenced most of the world that this plan of his destruction by Jacob, the white race, is evil, that it should never occur, and all measures must be taken to assure it never can occur. The story of the Holocaust was invented by Esau, the Jews, to give life and meaning to this worldly perspective of genocide. They try to say that genocide almost happened. White people, i.e. Germans, almost exterminated the Jews, and we must never allow such conditions to ever exist again, which could precipitate another Holocaust of Jews. This is what the world has been taught and believes. The Edomite Canaanite Jews have fabricated the 6 million Jewish Holocaust story to direct the world away from their inevitable prophetic fate. They are saying that this portion of God's script must never be acted out on stage. Popular thought and opinion finds the plans of God in this regard absolutely repugnant because God does not recognize the right of the Jews to continue to exist. Thus, no preacher or theologian would dare speak the truth regarding the Jews or the ways of God. Yet God says that the day is coming in which there shall no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. Zechariah 14, verse 21. There is not one verse in the Bible that tells us the inherently wicked Edomite Canaanite people will be saved. Rather, they are to be exterminated. 15 times in the book of Psalms alone, God says he will destroy the wicked. Not once does he say they shall be accepted in his kingdom. The antichrists of this world are to be destroyed, and Jews are devoted antichrists as indicated by their own fruits. The idea that God would sanction genocide should not be regarded as something new and unique, for God had commanded Israel to kill off and utterly destroy the 7 other nations or races which were in Canaan, Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 through 2. This would have been a genocide of these 7 races had the Israelites carried out God's command. The Edomites also find a parallel with the tares in the parable of the tares and the wheat. The tares were planted in the field, or the world, along with the wheat, and allowed to exist with them until the time of harvest. At harvest, the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. So shall it be in the end of this world. Matthew 13, verse 40. The tares are revealed as the wicked, just as someday Edom shall be called the border of wickedness. Malachi 1, verse 4. The Jews are running around like chickens with their heads cut off, because some of them realize that the time of harvest is approaching. Edom was a cause of Jacob's troubles. Troubles are called thorns as they prick, harass, and confine men. Hosea 2, verse 6, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. That which produces thorns and briars is rejected and is near unto cursing, and whose end is to be burned up. Hebrews 6, verses 7 through 8. The Edomite Jews have troubled, pricked, and harassed us generation after generation and are thus destined to be totally burned up. There are many races which are now on the verge of extinction. Is the world concerned about any of these races being eliminated from the face of the earth? No, they are not. Its concern is concentrated on the Jew. This is the one people that the world believes must be protected and survive. Yet it is the one race God has slated for destruction. Edom and Babylon. Esau Edom is much like those who commit blasphemy because they say they are Jews, Judeans, i.e. Israelites, and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan, and do lie. Revelation 2 verse 9 and 3 verse 9. By this, Edom can be identified with the corrupt Babylonian beast system, which is full of names and blasphemy, and by its sorceries were all nations deceived. Revelation 17 verse 3 and 18 verse 23. Of course, none blaspheme Christ or lie and deceive all people more than the Edomite Jews. Footnote. See Martin Luther's book, The Jews and Their Lies. End footnote. Edom's connection with Babylon started with Esau's desire to obtain the valuable garments of Nimrod, with which Nimrod prevailed over the whole land. Jasher 27, verse 10. Nimrod was the king of Babel, or Babylon, Genesis 10, verses 9 through 10, and his garments represented his ungodly rule. Nimrod is the prototype of a rebellious people, his name being interpreted as he who made all the people rebellious against God. Footnote, The Jewish Encyclopedia, Volume 9, 1905, page 309. Nimrod was the son of Cush, whose name means he whose words are dark. End footnote. Esau had killed Nimrod and then fought a desperate fight with two of his aides and killed them also. He then took the valuable garments of Nimrod and fled from his men. Jasher 27 verses 4 through 11. This exhausted Esau, and so when he came from the field, he was faint. Genesis 25 verse 29. This is when he sold his birthright to Jacob for pottage, which is a fitting consequence of his action. When he killed Nimrod and took his garments, Esau assumed another birthright, that of Nimrod and his Babylonian rule, one which could not coexist with the Adamic birthright. Babylon became a symbol for all that is contrary to the will and ways of God. The Tower of Babel was a plan to elevate man above God so as to have a universal rule over the world. The script of God reveals many interesting parallels between Red Edom and the Red Beast system of Babylon. As indicated, they both have the color identification of red. There are also similarities between their prophecies and judgments. These need to be examined for the sake of further identifying who and what Esau Edom is. The following are some of these parallels. Burned and destroyed by fire. In Obadiah 1 verse 18, Esau is devoured by the flame of Jacob. Babylon will also be utterly burned with fire. Revelation 18 verse 8. Be overthrown like Sodom and Gomorrah. Both Edom, Jeremiah 49 verse 18, and Babylon, Jeremiah 50 verse 40, are to end in destruction as in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah. Habitations made desolate. Edom shall have its habitations made desolate by the least of the flock. Jeremiah 49 verse 20. This exact same judgment is given for Babylon. Jeremiah 50 verse 45. Dominion over and war against Israel. As shown, Edom was to gain dominion over and afflict Israel. The system of Babylon also is to have dominion over God's people and make war against them. Daniel 7, verse 21 through 25, Revelation 12, verse 17, Revelation 13, verse 7, and Revelation 17, verse 6. Has a covert reign over the world. The final stage of rule of Babylon is a mystery. Revelation 17, verse 5. Edom is also exalted very high, which involves hidden things. Obadiah 1, verses 3 through 6. Israel to destroy and be delivered from. Both Edom, Obadiah 1, verses 16 through 18, and Babylon, Revelation 18, verse 4, are what God's people need deliverance from. This deliverance comes by God's people destroying its oppressor, Daniel 7 verses 26 through 27 and Revelation 18 verse 6. Who is it today that is promoting the Babylonian system? It is those whose religion and way of life is based on the Babylonian Talmud, the Jews. Jacob's deliverance. Obadiah's prophecy of Jacob stated that his deliverance would be upon Mount Zion. Here was to be the main stranglehold that the anti-God forces of Red Babylon had upon Jacob. Jeremiah spoke of that period of time as a time of travail, and as the time of Jacob's trouble, from which he was promised to be saved and delivered. These are the words of prophecy concerning Israel and Judah. For thus says the Lord, I have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now, and see whether a man does travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off their neck, and I will tear off their bonds, and strangers shall no longer make them their slaves. Jeremiah 30, verses 5 through 8. Here again we see that a yoke will be upon Jacob. The yoke is bondage and servitude to another race, which has a dominion over Jacob. When Esau broke the yoke of Jacob off his neck, he was to gain dominion and place a yoke upon Jacob. It is this yoke of Esau which God has promised to someday break off Jacob's neck. God prophesied of Israel that he would break the bars of their yoke and deliver them from the hands of those who enslaved them. Ezekiel 34, verse 27. The white peoples today are truly a slave to the Edomite Jews, who command and control the various areas of government, finance, and everyday living which are essential to their liberties. Let us consider the words of American patriot Patrick Henry. Tell me, when did liberty ever exist when the sword and the purse were given up from the people? Unless a miracle shall interpose, no nation ever did, nor ever can retain its liberty after the loss of the sword and the purse. Unfortunately, nothing will preserve it, public liberty, but downright force, and whenever you give up that force, you are inevitably ruined. Who has control of the sword and the purse in Zion, America, or any other white nation? Every nation that has become a willing partner of the Jewish-controlled United Nations has surrendered its military to its edicts. Every nation that has its monetary system dependent on a centralized, Jewish-controlled bank has surrendered its purse into the hands of the Jews. The people of those nations have lost their liberty and have the yoke of Esau Edom upon them. It will be by a miracle of God that this yoke shall be removed and the people delivered. A further revelation of the process and nature of Jacob's final deliverance from his enemy Esau is found in the Apocrypha of the Bible. Then answered I and said, What shall be the parting asunder of the times, the ages? Or when shall be the end of the first age and the beginning of the age that follows? And he, the Lord, said unto me, From Abraham unto Isaac, when Jacob and Esau were born of him, Jacob's hand held first, or from the beginning, the heel of Esau. For Esau is the end of the world, or the age, and Jacob is the beginning of it that follows. 2 Esdras 6, verses 7 through 10. This recalls to us the event of the birth of Esau and Jacob, and the significance of why Jacob held on to Esau's heel at their birth. Everything in Scripture has a meaning or purpose. The heel represents the end, and the hand, the beginning of man. Esau's time was to have an end which would mark the beginning of the time of Jacob. Thus, Jacob's deliverance from the oppression and servitude of Esau can only come about by the end of Esau, or his elimination from the world. A significant aspect of Jacob's bondage is that the people cannot discern between what is evil and what is not. Our people were once concerned about the corrupting influence of the Antichrist Jews in society, but now their lack of concern has brought about Jewish dominion in the land. Jewish Talmudism owes its existence today to the indifference with which it is regarded. The Jew is prejudiced against the Bible, doing what he can to destroy public honor of the book. Footnote: The International Jew, Dearborn Publishers, 1921, Volume 3, page 16. End footnote. The Christians do not see Jews as the Antichrists they are, but rather as Bible followers and God's chosen people. This condition will change with Jacob's deliverance. So you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. Malachi 3, verse 18. Footnote: It is only by knowing the strong meat of Scripture that we will be able to discern both good and evil. Hebrews 5, verse 14. End footnote. It should go without saying that if white Christian people all knew that the Jew is the wicked one, is not an Israelite, and does not serve God, it would be the end of the Jew, and Christians would be delivered from the Jew's corrupting influence and yoke of bondage. They then would do exactly as is foretold in the next verses of Malachi. For behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that comes shall burn them up, says that Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, says the Lord of hosts. Malachi 4, verses 1 and 3. Also, Micah 4, verse 13. This is again a promise of the destruction of the wicked by fire, or burning at the hand of Israel. Note that the wicked which is to be burned is regarded as stubble, just as Esau was in Obadiah 18. The doctrine of universal salvation is obviously not a biblical doctrine, since there is no hope, redemption, or salvation for Esau Edom, only complete destruction. Footnote: The fundamentalist preachers are also saying that all of the troubles and afflictions prophesied to happen to Israel are to happen in the future to the Jews. Yet, as we have seen, most of these prophecies have already occurred to the white peoples. And footnote: It needs to be understood that it is the plan of God for Edom to gain dominion and to rise to an exalted position in the world, and finally, at one final act, to be brought down and destroyed, never to return again. Edom is thus much like the rich man in Christ's parable of the rich man and Lazarus, Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. The yoke and the adversity of the Edomite Jew has been brought upon us, Israel, due to our own actions of transgressions against God. Likewise, when Solomon had severely violated God's covenant and statutes, God had raised up an adversary to Solomon, Hadad the Edomite, 1 Kings 11, verses 6 through 14. The form of remedy or deliverance from this state is outlined in Deuteronomy 30, verses 1 through 4, 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, and Jeremiah 3, verses 12 through 13. God is not only the author of the script that is being followed in the earth, but is director and producer, and in fact owns the stage and all characters and props on it. As the psalmist says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." Psalm 24, verse 1. Yes, all the world is much like a stage, and the stage is now being set for Esau's destruction and Jacob's deliverance. It is so written.